You are the God over the storm. Talk about a couple people today. One of them, Isaac. One of them, Joseph. And those two Bible characters went through some issues in their lives that could be construed as real storms. Things that happened to them. So when we look into God and we begin to try to get a grasp of who God is in Isaac's life and in Joseph's life, we really need to back up and take a look at who mom and dad were in Isaac's life and who dad was in Joseph's life. Abraham was a man of faith. We've talked about him and mentioned his name the last couple of weeks. And what he did and what he represented. And we all know that God blessed Abraham. And we all know that we are descendants of Abraham. And we all know that when Abraham was nearly 100 years old, God blessed them with a son by the name of Isaac. And there's no one in the room today saying, I'm glad it was Abraham and Sarah and not me. And I understand that. Isaac watched his dad prosper. And the Bible says that God gave Abraham everything through the blessing that he had received as a result of Adam losing the blessing. And he saw, and Isaac saw, God touch every aspect of his dad's life. Everything that he touched prospered. And so Isaac has a foundation there to look back upon. And I'm sure I remember telling my son stories of things, and I'm sure your parents told you stories or you've told your children stories about things that have happened in your life. Number one, things to help protect them, things to help them be cautious of, things to look out for. I know Butch was saying one day that he was over doing something at Trey's house, and he told him, he said, if you'd have watched me do this, you would have known how to do it. And so that's the way that God works. I'm sure that Abraham told Isaac a whole things about, you know, the life that had happened, the fact that Lot was kidnapped, about the arrival of the high priest Melchizedek, about the blessings that God spoke over Abraham as he tithed. He told him how to avoid different things. He probably told him, he said, son, don't lie to the king. Remember when he came to the king and Sarah was such a beautiful woman that he told the king that Sarah was his sister so that they wouldn't kill Abraham? But fortunately for Abraham, there was someone that was overseeing him called God. And God said to the king, if you touch her or anyone in your house touch her, you're the same as a dead man. God watches over us in all that we do and everything that we do in our lives, and on a daily basis, he's watching out for us. And so Isaac lived most of his life, or a lot of his life, under the blessing of his dad, Abraham. And I can just imagine when Abraham said to his son, he says, we're going to go up to Mount Moriah, and we're going to sacrifice a lamb, and his servants are getting ready, and he says to them, he says, no, you stay here. Just Isaac and I are going up. And I can see Isaac wondering, Dad, where's the lamb? Where's the animal that we're going to take to sacrifice? Because they always took an animal. You didn't just get to the altar of sacrifice and think that God was going to drop a lamb out of heaven. You came prepared. And I can see Abraham, without a tear in his eye, without any hesitation at all, saying, God, will provide a lamb. And you talk about faith that it takes to believe that. And you know the story. He gets up to the top of Mount Moriah, he builds a fire, he lays Isaac on the altar, and just before he lays the knife to his son Isaac, his only son, God says, wait a minute. Whoa. And I don't think he said, stop the music. But I think that's what he was thinking. He said, by myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing and I have not withheld your son, your only son, he says, blessing, I will bless you. And he goes to say, and multiplying, I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is on the seashore, and your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemies. In your seed, all of the nations will be blessed because you have obeyed my voice. That's what he's saying to us. We are blessed because we are obeying his voice, because we are the seed of Abraham. And it's real easy to see how the seed works in somebody else's life. I'm sure Isaac was there and, you know, and he saw all the things that God had blessed his dad with. But then it becomes a time for Isaac. And Isaac has seen his dad prosper and seen the land that his dad was given and seen everything that had happened to him. And there comes a time where there's famine in the land. And so he decides to pack up everything. And he decides to go down to Egypt. And as he was going, the Bible says, then the Lord appeared to him and said, do not go down to Egypt. Live in the land of which I shall tell you. Dwell in this land. Don't leave what I blessed your dad with. But stay here and receive that blessing. And I will be with you and bless you. For you and your descendants, I give all the lands, and I will perform the oath which I swore to Abraham your father. And I will make your descendants multiply. This is the blessing that God is speaking on Isaac through Abraham. And I will make your descendants multiply as the stars of the heaven. I will give your descendants all these land, and in your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because Abraham, your father, obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. So Isaac reaped the blessing of his father. And when he heard this, I mean, I can only imagine probably what he was thinking. It's because dad did this, you're doing this for me? And then I'm sure God probably sat down and said to him and looked at him and said, no, son, I'm doing this because of what you're doing. You're being obedient. You're doing what's right in my side. And so what he told him, he said, is I want you to sojourn in this land. And interesting, a sojourner in that day was not someone that traveled. That was someone that walked around in the land that wasn't theirs as though they possessed it, as though they owned it. And what he is saying is, you walk around here in what's not yours and it will become yours. That's how God just never gives up and never quits. And it's a revelation that we need to grab hold of today and realize that what God promised to Abraham and Isaac, he's promised to Phil, he's promised to Jan, he's promised to Denzel. It doesn't make any difference who we are. That same blessing that he gave to Abraham and Isaac, he's given to us. All he wants us to do is just be obedient and just listen to him. And so as I... Something I read this weekend, it said, start believing for your abundance. Too many people, I'm not just talking about money. I'm talking about an abundance of friends. I'm talking about an abundance of opportunity to minister to people. I'm talking about an abundance of opportunity to serve God. Sure, money's part of it. Luke said, given it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and overflowing. What? Will man give? You didn't say God was going to do it. He's going to take it from somebody else and give it to you. That's pretty exciting stuff when you really stop and think about it. We'd love to build an addition on out here. Somebody has got the money for that. God probably needs to kick them in the seat of their pants. I would have normally said, but. And say, you need to be obedient. And somebody out there will. I'm confident that's going to happen. But then there's Joseph. And you remember Joseph, and he was a poor guy that was his father's youngest. His father loved him so much, he gave him this special coat. His father loved him so much that his brothers hated him. And Joseph was so obedient. And Joseph probably would have been wise. Wayne told me something the other day. We were talking, and I don't remember exactly the whole conversation, but he says, do you know everything? I think something was that just of that conversation. And I said something, I don't remember. And he says, Eli does. He said, I was taking you to school today, and he said, Dad, I don't need to go to school. I know everything. Or Grandpa, I said, I don't need to go to school. He says, I know everything. And Joseph could have been the same way. And Joseph was a teenager. And so what we see here is someone like Joseph that was, I'm not going to say conceited, but extremely confident. Because he lets his brother know that, hey, God's spoken to me and he's going to bless me. And they're sitting there thinking, you're the youngest brother. Why would God bless you over us? Because we're so much older and we're so much wiser than you. And what's interesting when we look at this, that his brothers struggled with that. They didn't realize that God wanted to bless them through Joseph. And if you read in Genesis, you'll see that. He wanted to benefit the family through this youngest brother and youngest son. He wanted to use him to minister to that family. He wanted to say something through Joseph that they may have never heard otherwise. And had they realized what was going on, they would have realized that that seed of Abraham, which is still flowing through Isaac, and who was Isaac's son? And when you stop and think about all the blessing, it just flows all the way through. It doesn't stop anywhere. And we have that same blessing that Joseph had. If Joseph, if you stop and think, if his brothers would have prayed for him, rather than conniving and conceiving a plan to get rid of him and then lying to their father, they would have never had to go to Egypt either. But what they did, the Bible says that they mocked Joseph. And when you mock Joseph, they were mocking God. And so there was going to be a price to pay because there's a consequence for sin. And it's not because, that we talk about sin and we think that all the things that people do that it looks like they enjoy. God's not against people having fun. He's against people creating and sinning because it breaks the bond of the blessing, which is what he wants to do with us. He didn't want to punish us because the Bible says that it's a book of restoration. It's a book of regeneration. And so that's what he's looking for. You know the story. Joseph is sold into slavery. Ends up in Potiphar's house as a slave. Serves Potiphar. And this is a teenager still. Probably didn't know a whole lot about business, but Potiphar put him over his whole estate. Everything that he had was now Joseph's to manage. But unfortunately, here comes Satan bopping down the street, or bopping into the room, and creates what God has, or takes what God has created as something wonderful for Joseph, and sets Joseph up for failure because of his wife. And so he goes to jail, ends up in prison. But you know what the blessing did then? The Bible said that the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners who were in the prison, whatever they did there. Now here's a guy that could have sat around in prison and whined and complained and moaned and groaned, but he didn't. Goes on to say, the keeper of the prison did not look into anything that was under Joseph's authority, because the Lord was with him, and whatever he did, God made it prosper. No matter what Joseph did, God made it prosper, because he had the blessing on his life. He'd never overseen prisoners before. He'd never had anything to do like that. But he interpreted dreams for prisoners because he was in prison. And what happens when, you'd think when the prisoners got out, they would say, hey, there's this guy in prison. His name's Joseph. He interpreted this dream for me. But he didn't. And they didn't. They were only concerned about themselves, unfortunately. And so we see here that Joseph is a confident individual, ultimately interprets a dream for the Pharaoh, and is blessed again and put in charge of all of the grain and all of the food. It's interesting that Egypt was always prospered in food. Everybody's going through a famine, does what? They go to Egypt. And so Joseph's brothers have to go to Egypt to get food. Well, what's happened to that blessing? It's still on Joseph's life. He's now over everyone and everything in Egypt, and his brothers have to come and ask him for food, not knowing who he was. Not knowing, as far as they were concerned, he was dead, because they told his father he was dead. And so had his brothers realized what was going on, they had that blessing on their lives too. They didn't need to connive. They didn't need to kill their father, by the way. Jacob didn't need to steal the birthright from his brother Esau because he already had it. He had the blessing because he was in the bloodline of Abraham. And so when we stop and think about that and we look at it and we think, well, man, where am I at? We are the same place that Egypt really was. As long as Egypt realized that Joseph was there and he had the blessing, as long as they realized that, they prospered. But when they forgot, then the woes of God came on Egypt. And the Israelite children made the life of the Egyptians one miserable hell. And go through and get, if you want to read it, read about the plagues, read about what happened. But we'll see that they missed that opportunity of receiving the blessing through Joseph. And so we don't want to miss that opportunity of receiving the blessing. And so when we make a mistake or we do something wrong and we seek forgiveness, what God does is restores us. He replenishes us. He gives us restoration. He brings us back into the fellowship that we are now where we were, and we are ready to move forward. That's what the blessing is all about. It's being in that family of God and being in that relationship and to receive from Him. God bless you.